So today is Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday. Simply just read the gospel for this Mass of Maundy Thursday, taken from that of according to St. John, chapter 13. Before the festival day, you can stand because we're reading first the gospel. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he riseth from the supper and layeth aside his garments, and having taken a towel, he girded himself. After that he poureth into water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girt. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, Thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being set down again, he said to them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so do you also. And then thus for the words of today's Holy Gospel. So then these are the three holiest days of the year, the sacred triduum of Holy Week. And today on Holy Thursday, there are many things to consider. It is the only place in the Missal where the Missale Romanum actually instructs the priest what he is supposed to preach on. And it says in the Missale Romanum at the end of the Gospel today that the priest should give a brevis homilia, but that's a relative term. Brevis means short, but a brevis homilia on the great mysteries of this night, the great mysteries of this night, which are the mysteries of the Holy Eucharist, the priesthood, and the New Testament, the decree of fraternal charity. And so these are the subjects which the Holy Mother of the Church asks us priests to speak on this Holy Thursday night. We find ourselves in the beginning of the Passion. The Lord is going to begin his suffering in only an hour or two. We're going to travel with him through his sufferings of this night and through tomorrow morning until he dies at 3 p.m. tomorrow. And then we will celebrate that with a sacred afternoon liturgy of Good Friday. But in this, the most sorrowful time of the year, the Church reserves the color purple for the memory of the sorrow of the Passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and yet it commands the priest and the altar to be adorned with flowers, which are forbidden during the season of Lent, and also to wear the white vestments, which are also forbidden during the season of Lent, particularly during the sacred triduum, because of the holiness and the greatest gift that God ever gave to man, which is the gift of his own body and blood, the gift of the Holy Eucharist, and the gift that is inseparable from it, which is the priesthood. Every one of us must give thanks for these two sacraments. They are the sacraments that set apart the New Testament from the Old Testament. They are what make us holy in the Catholic Church. What sets apart our church from every other church, which is called false, the other churches. The Old Testament, says St. Paul, is the testament of death, and it was a holy testament. A holy testament that brought death. It could not bring souls into heaven, and yet it was a holy testament. St. Paul says in his epistle to the Hebrews that it was indeed a holy testament, but a testament of death. Our testament is a testament of life. And our testament is infinitely holier than the Old Testament. It is not the testament of the promise, it is the testament of the Redeemer. It is not the testament of preparation, it is the testament of receiving. We do not prepare for the receiving of Jesus Christ, we actually receive Him. We don't wait for His coming. We rather come into His presence. Our church is holy. It is holy because of the Holy Eucharist and because of the priesthood. Without the priesthood and without the Holy Eucharist, our church is nothing. This is the greatest legacy that Jesus Christ has left behind to us. Until the night before He died, it says in the beginning of the Gospel that unto the end, says St. John, so he said, before the festival of Jesus, knowing that His hour was come. And whenever this word is used, the Gospel of St. John, it means His hour of His death. Now Jesus, knowing that His hour was come, that He should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them unto the end. We'll try to meditate in this supper with St. John the Apostle. What St. John noted in Jesus Christ at this sacred supper, he saw in our Lord a love that he had never seen before. He knew that Jesus Christ was filled with charity, but he never showed impatience to anyone that asked anything of him. He was always ready to help the poor and the sick and those in any kind of need. But there was something different about his love this night. St. John, at the age of 19, finding himself at this Last Supper, the youngest of all the apostles, knew that there was something exceptionally holy going on here. Something different was happening. Jesus Christ had a different tone of voice. There was a different sincerity. There was a different seriousness in His tone. There was a greater depth in His speaking. This was a different night. And not knowing what would become of this night, not knowing that it would be the last night that He would ever spend with Jesus Christ before His passion, He knew that it was holy. And so we want to travel into Holy Thursday in the Sacred Triduum with St. John the Apostle, who didn't know what was going to happen, but had a sense that there was something holy here. We likewise do not understand the mysteries that we are around. This church at this moment is empty. It is filled with a few sinners. But the holiness of the church is not yet here. And we await for that holiness to come. Why are we here? We are here to await He who is holy, He who is love, He who is God Himself. We wait for Him to come into our presence. We wait for Him to die again upon the cross in an unbloody manner. We wait to receive Him. We are going to be united in charity on this night. And our Lord Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church makes it clear, Charity is God, and God is charity. That's what St. John says in his epistle, Deus caritas est, God is charity. And we who wish to be connected to charity, who wish to have charity inside of our hearts, can only receive it through the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. There is no other place to find charity. And so what does that mean? It means there must be priests in order for there to be charity in the world. There can be no love without priesthood. Because without priest, there is no Eucharist. Without Eucharist, there is no love in this world. Therefore, Christ has intimately bound up the priesthood with the Holy Eucharist, and the Holy Eucharist with the priesthood, and charity with the priesthood. If you want to have charity, you will receive it from the hands of the priest. The first reception of charity is at the moment that you are baptized, and the priest pours the water over your head. You receive charity again when you come to the communion rail, and the priest places charity itself upon your tongue within your hearts. You receive charity again when you go into the box, and as an enemy of God you enter, and then you hear the mouth of the priest speak, Ego te absolvo. And with those words, out comes the divine love, and it goes out of the priest's mouth and into the heart of the sinner on the other side of the confessional. The priest is the vehicle of charity. And Jesus Christ tonight wishes to speak to his priests. He wants to explain to them, you cannot call yourself a priest unless you unite yourself to charity. Your priesthood is connected to the divine love, and the divine love obeyed his Father, usque ad mortem, mortem autem crucis. The divine love obeyed his Father unto death, even to the death of the cross. The divine love came to earth to wash the feet of his disciples. And so as I do to you, you must do also. And he said to his apostles this night, on the day that he ordained them to the priesthood of his own, according to the order of Melchizedek, as I do to you, you must do also. You do not understand what I do now, but you will hereafter. And if you want to understand, you will stay close to the supper. And so the fount of truth, and not only the fount of love, is found at the supper. It is found at the unbloody sacrifice of the Mass. Everything we need to do and everything we need to know is contained in that tabernacle and in that Mass. There's nothing else we need to know, and there's nothing else we need to do. As one of the saint priests said, I forget which one, he said, there are two parts of my day. The part of preparing for Jesus Christ to come on the altar, the part of thanking him for having come. And this is the division of time. And it is also the division of our lives. We prepare for Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. When he has entered, we give thanks that he has come. And we ask that he stays. Like the two disciples on the way to Emmaus were traveling with what they thought was a stranger. And then the stranger went to walk on. And they said to the stranger, stay with us. Do not go on. For the stranger will leave us if we do not ask him to stay. Jesus Christ, the Samaritan, is traveling. And unless we ask him to stay, he will not. And so we want to make sure that we ask him to stay. In many ways, the church rejoices more on Holy Thursday than on any other day of the year. Our greatest feast is Easter, coming up in a few days. But we rejoice and understand better Holy Thursday and Good Friday. He gave us the Holy Eucharist. For the first time, he said to his apostles, "This is my body, this is my blood. Take and eat you all of it. You will break it down. You will consume it. You will be transformed into it. This is my body, this is my blood, which shall be given over for you and for many unto the remission of sins." There's no other way to wipe out sin than his body and his blood. No other way to enter into the kingdom of heaven than being a partaker of his body and his blood. "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you." In fact, the first time we eat his body and drink his blood is at the moment of baptism. We open ourselves up to Jesus Christ at that moment. We, so to speak, make a spiritual communion at the moment of baptism. And then we'll receive the actual communion a few years later. But the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood are the center points of our faith. And in the New Testament, "I give you a new commandment, mandatum novum do vobis. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This is a new kind of love, and it is a commandment. We sometimes forget that. We are commanded to love our enemies. We are not requested to do so. It is not going above and beyond the call of duty to love your enemies. It was in the Old Testament. It is not in the New. If we do not love our enemies, we shall be condemned. We are going to be governed by a new law. And it is the law of divine charity. No one can stand firm by this law. No one can obey this law successfully unless he partakes of the divine charity regularly. That means frequent Holy Communion, frequent contact with the priesthood. The priesthood through the confessional and the priesthood through the altar. And our Lord Jesus Christ knelt down and washed the feet of his apostles. And he asked each one of us apostles and priests, the followers of him who have his same priesthood, that on this Holy Thursday, we kneel down and wash the feet of 12 men as he washed the feet of those 12 apostles. Showing, when I walk down the aisle and kneel down and kiss the feet of these 12 men and wash their feet, we'll say the same words to you that Christ spoke. "You call me master, and you say, well, for so I am. But as I am about to do to you, so you do likewise." He who will be the greatest, says Jesus Christ, will be the servant. Whoever is the greatest will humble himself. And yet he will not lose his authority by his humility. Christ was humbled upon a cross. But on this cross and from this cross, he will rule the world. He will not lose his authority because he has been stripped and hung upon a cross. He will not lose his divinity because he's been hung upon a cross. From the cross, he will reign. And this is the new way of having authority in the church. It is authority through suffering. It is the way of Jesus Christ. And it is a way that we priests often do not want to hear. But by his divine decree, he has willed that the authority can only come through the manifestation of love. Jesus Christ is God. He has authority no matter what he does, but he chose to only manifest his authority through his divine love. He showed his authority by being in control of his own death. He did not show his authority by making profound decrees and seeing that everyone followed them whether they wished to or not. He showed his authority by forcing no one to follow him. but by judging all from the cross who chose not to. So likewise, the church shows its authority in the same way. We call all men to come to the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the gifts that Christ has put into the hands of the priest, the gift of baptism, the gift of confession, the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the gift of preaching the gospel. But those who do not want this gift will not be forced to take it. And if all refuse to take it, the gift still stands. It will not lose its power, no matter how many of us abandon Him. Remember on the first night that He gave the greatest of gifts, that is Holy Thursday night 2,000 years ago. On that first night that He gave the greatest of gifts, all 12 of His newly ordained priests abandoned Him. His 72 disciples abandoned Him. The holy women did not believe in His resurrection, no longer believed in His true teaching. He would say by the abandonment, so abandoned He would be, that in the middle of His crucifixion He would say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Abandoned even by His own Father. And in His state of total abandonment, He will not lose His authority. By being abandoned, He will draw all things to Himself. By dying, He will bring life. By submitting Himself, He will have authority and power. And so likewise, we must learn to imitate Him and the new way that He is going to produce His divine love or spread His divine love throughout the entire world. There is a new way, the way of the new commandment. Where are we going to learn this way? Frequent presence in front of the tabernacle. Our Lord is abandoned in our day. We do not spend enough time with Him. If we want to learn a little bit about His faith, learn a little bit about His love, we need to sup with Him. And that means to be in His presence. This church is always open. If you drive by, come in and visit our Lord, even if for a few moments. There is strength and education that comes from His presence. He will help us to be able to deal with all of our trials and tribulations, clarify our intellects so that we are able to understand what we should do next. Submit our wills so that we are able to obey His divine decrees that He sends through our superiors. It is the Holy Eucharist that will teach us these things. And He will even be gentle with us. He will not force Himself too much upon us so that we cannot take it. He will move gently and slowly in the development of His love inside of us. And so there is much to learn from His presence and from the Holy Eucharist. So in a few moments we're going to celebrate the Mass. Christ is going to become present on the altar. We're going to receive Holy Communion. And we want to ask that when He enters into our hearts, that He stays there. That He deepens our understanding of Him and our love. We need to certainly ask this. That He open our eyes to the evil of sin, particularly our own sins, so that we can be a little bit more sorry for them each day, even if we continue to be weak. And we can start to make reparation and unite ourselves closer and closer to His Mass. And as we unite ourselves closer and closer to His Mass, which is the centerpiece of what He came to do on this earth, we will discover that the Mass is the same as the cross, and the cross is the same as the Mass. And these two things can never be separated. And so we will learn that if we're going to live the Mass, it means we're going to embrace the crosses of daily life and accept them as gifts. And then we're going to have to develop the habit of making the Mass a part of our daily life. It will take time to develop this habit, but we have until the end of our days to work on it. And we need to work one day, one step at a time, to try to embrace this cross and the next one and the next one and the next one with a greater and greater calm and greater interior peace. Until eventually God opens our eyes to a new kind of love. And opens our eyes to a deeper understanding of truth. There are many levels to the truth. The first level, we see only the outside. But as we travel inside of the truth, we discover that it goes very deep. And that it connects into all the parts of the universe. Because the truth is God. And there is no place where God is not. And so we will learn to see God in all things. And as we learn to see God in all things, we will begin to have a greater understanding of truth. And as we go learn to think of God as we do all things, we will learn to have a better understanding of love. And we will unite that truth and that love to the cross and the Mass and the priesthood. And then we will live that cross, live that Mass, live that priesthood in our own lives. So as I do unto you, so you do also. Wash the feet of your fellow men. Be a servant of them. Be a servant of them for the love of God. Because Christ has done so, so we also must do so. And then we'll close it at that. At the end of the sermon today, we will, divest and get ready for the washing of the feet. The 12 men for the washing of the feet. When we give this, the MC will give a signal, you'll stand up and stand out in front of your stool, and then you'll give a clap, the genuflect, you give a second clap, you bow to the altar, you genuflect, then you bow to the priest, the second, then a third clap, you sit down, then immediately remove your right shoe and right sock and so on, and then I'll come by with the washing of the feet while the choir is singing, and then at the end of the washing of your feet, you put your shoes and your socks back on as soon as they go on to the next person. At the end of the, all 12 are washed, then I need to say a final prayer, to turn around and say a prayer to all the men who have had their feet washed, and they will stay standing for this prayer. And then at the end of the prayer, genuflect, bow to the priest, and then go and sit down back in your pews. And so that's the little rules for the little ceremony, for the washing of the feet. And then, at the end of the Mass, remember, that the majority of us, after the adoration downstairs, a vast majority will come upstairs, back into the church for the divesting of the altars. Only 5 or 10 or so stay downstairs. And then at the end of that, the singing of the Office of Compline, and we'll have little papers to hand out to you to join us for the recto-toned Compline. Compline is done differently during Holy Week than it is for the rest of the year. It's much simpler, straight recto-tone. And then that will conclude the ceremony. And remember, 3 p.m. Tomorrow, for the Good Friday liturgy. And I'll close it at that. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.